great to see you here this morning. I'm glad that we've all chosen to gather here in the flesh or online. Welcome to you as well. You know, now that we've hit August, I've heard a lot of people say, look, we're kind of in the second half of the year, so let's kind of just fast forward this year as quickly as possible and get to 2021 as soon as we possibly can. And just pretend like this year kind of is done. Let's just fast forward, let's ride the downhill slope into next year, and let's kind of start afresh as much as we can. But what if I told you that Jesus says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor. You might say amen, or you might be like, Sam, what are you talking about? Have you looked around at the world right now? Have you looked around at what is going on? But that is what Jesus says. He says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. We're in this series in Luke's gospel called Dawn Has Come. And what we're looking at this morning is really the moment in which the long dark night of sin and decay was ended. Because the moment that Jesus opened his mouth when he stood in a synagogue in Nazareth, it was like the dawn of a new epoch arose. As soon as the vowels and consonants trickled out of his mouth. We're looking at this famous passage in Luke chapter 4, which Paul actually touched on a few weeks ago when we were in our series in Isaiah. But Jesus is there. He's in his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. He's in a synagogue, and he's invited to speak to the people of the synagogue. And he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, and he purposefully picks Isaiah 61 and reads a portion of that. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this is the year of the Lord's favor. What Jesus was purposefully referencing here was Isaiah, but a bit more than that. This is kind of like when you're on a website and you click a link, and that link takes you to another website, and that link takes you to another website. Well, if we look at where Jesus said, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that will take us to Isaiah 61, but Isaiah 61 will take us to Leviticus 25. And Leviticus 25 is all about this year in the Jewish calendar called the Year of Jubilee. It was the 50th year. So the Jewish calendar kind of operated in 50-year cycles. And when the 50th year came, you literally would have heard the sound of trumpets playing around the land. You would have heard ram's horns playing, whatever that would have sounded like. And the whole place would have been filled with rejoicing and an incredible relief. Because the year of Jubilee, this 50th year, was special. In the year of Jubilee, if you were a slave, you were set free by your master unconditionally. If you had lost your family's estate, your family's land, for whatever reason, by more powerful people took it from you, or you had to sell it off, it was given back to you unconditionally. If you had a crippling debt, your debt was cancelled unconditionally. Doesn't that sound good? This was an incredible, incredible year of hope. It says in Leviticus 25, consecrate the 50th year, God says, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. It's like this year was a complete reset for God's people. Imagine if you could just start again. Start again. And because of that, it was the whole Jewish people of Israel were filled with this constant expectation of hope. Because it was like, well, I'm a slave now, and that sucks, and that's my lot. But come the year of Jubilee, I'm going to be free. So it's okay. I may be swimming in debt right now, but come the year of Jubilee, it's all going to be okay. I'm going to be free from that. This incredible hope. People awaited redemption. But then thousands of years later, Isaiah is writing and he's anticipating something like the year of Jubilee, only better, an age of Jubilee. Not just something that would last a year, but an age. He sees it. He sees it in his mind and he writes it down, a perpetual Jubilee that would be brought about by the Messiah. 700 years later, Jesus is standing in a synagogue in Nazareth and he says, it is here. Immediately. It is starting immediately, right now. Dawn has come. As Walter Brueggemann says, what Jesus meant was, I am Jubilee. Isaiah wrote about it. I'm going to enact it. And when Jesus spoke those words, the trumpets of Jubilee in heaven would have resounded because a new epoch arrived. And this is how it works. If you read Isaiah 61, it says, this is what Jesus quoted, proclaim, the Messiah is going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But then it says, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now that's a Hebrew poetic coupling. Those two lines have to go together. You can't separate them. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. But Jesus, when he spoke these words in the synagogue in Nazareth, he finished the reading early. He sat down. That's why everybody in the synagogue was looking at him. They're like, what are you doing? You didn't finish it. What's happening? But what Jesus was doing in the most simplest of ways, simply by splitting those poetic coupled lines, he was saying, now is the age of the year of the Lord's favor. It is the age of Jubilee. And by doing that, he postponed the vengeance of God. He postponed God's judgment to a later date. So now we live in this indefinite time of Jubilee. That's how it is. That's what Jesus says, and he's delayed God's judgment. And this is where we are. This is where we are living today. It doesn't matter what year it is, whether it's 2020 or any other year, we are still in the age of God's favor, which means this is the year of the Lord's favor. But people might question that. Might say, Sam, look around. It looks like 2020 to me. It looks like suffering. It looks like economic turmoil. It might mean for you, I've lost my job. That's all I'm seeing at the moment. It might mean for you, I'm crippled by chronic anxiety because I'm actually really worried about the way the world is going. And that's understandable. You might just be flooded with bad news over and over again, like we all are. But there is good news if you can see it. There is good news. Because God's calendar reads a little bit differently. He acknowledges it's 2020. But what he sees is this. When he looks at the world, he sees now is the year of the Lord's favor. Now we are in the age of Jubilee. And Jesus said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today it has started. It's happening now. So what does it look like? What is it meant to look like? This age of Jubilee. Well, it's kind of meant to look like the principles that were in place for the Jewish people in ancient Israel. The Jubilee looks like freedom from bondage. That's what the Jubilee looks like. Just as in Leviticus, it says the year of Jubilee is to be the year where everybody was meant to go out and proclaim liberty to all the inhabitants of the land. It was Jesus' mission to do that from day dot, only way more substantially. It's like he got given these keys, these heavenly keys, and he went around on this rampage, unlocking prison doors, setting the oppressed free, setting those who are crippled by bondage to spiritually from Satan or physical bondage. He just went around because he had the authority to do that over and over. That's what it was like, because that's what's meant to happen in Jubilee. And wherever he went, people experienced this release from captivity. Jesus had this aura of freedom, and people experienced that just by coming into his presence. But now you and I, because we have the Spirit in us, we have been given the keys. That's how it works. The church has been given the heavenly keys of freedom. We have the keys in our hand because we have the King of freedom in us. And that's an incredible responsibility. So the church today enacts the age of Jubilee because Jesus is within us. And I can think of like a whole list of people who have experienced true freedom just here over the last couple of years. Harry, Kate, Jill, Lucy, Jason, the list goes on and on. The fact that they have found actual freedom means it's proof that we are living in this age. That's the proof. It happens in real life. People's eyes are opened. But it isn't just spiritual, it's physical. It's very physical. It's economic, this kind of release from bondage. If we support the work of International Justice Mission, we are supporting an organization that literally frees slaves from trafficking, right? And by doing so, we are enacting Jubilee in this age so the world can see it. Same as if we support Open Doors or the Lighthouse, we are bringing people face to face with the King of Freedom, and they realize it. And so if the poor or the brokenhearted in particular, if they actually get told that they are living in this age, that what they see in front of them isn't just what they get, isn't just their lot in life, but there's true freedom in Christ available for them, then that is incredible. That's an incredible revelation for them to have, and for us, but particularly for the poor, they have real freedom from bondage. But the Jubilee is also characterized by restoration. In the year of Jubilee, people's lands and estates were restored back to them. They got it returned to them. This is just God giving back to the people what he believes they rightfully should have. So that meant that nobody was perpetually stuck in poverty, and nobody was perpetually rich either, because it was a reset in the 50th year. And Jesus actually starts enacting this straight away. He encouraged financial restoration by telling the rich young ruler in Luke's gospel a bit later on. The rich young ruler wants to gain entrance into the kingdom, and Jesus says, one thing you lack, you need to sell your possessions and give it to the poor. That's Jesus enacting Jubilee. And then when he encounters Zacchaeus was doing the opposite of Jubilee. He was actually withholding and stealing from his own people. But when he met Jesus, it's like he realized, everything that I have is God's. Anyway, and so he wants to give back twice as much as he had taken from them. That's Jubilee. The early church enacted the principles of Jubilee as well. They actually did this. This is how they were set up. In Acts 4:34, it says that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. The early church just went, Jesus said it was the age of Jubilee, so let's do this. Amen. Let's share our resources. That's what the church is meant to be today. We are the body of Christ. We are the flesh and blood. Whoop, there goes the bass. We are, I hope it's okay, Sam. That base is precious. We are meant to be the church, the flesh and blood living example of Christ on earth, which means people are meant to come into our community and see the fact that you can have CEOs in here and you can have janitors, and it doesn't matter because we are all equal. Nobody holds their status over another person. We take care of each other here. We make sure that there is no needy persons among us, and as we do that, the world will see we are truly in this age of Jubilee. But Jesus restored more than just financially. He restored people physically. In Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist, he's stuck in prison, and he gets these messengers together, and he wants to send a message to Jesus. And the message is, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Or should we expect somebody else? What's going on? Because John actually thought that the Messiah would come and bring in the age of Jubilee, but also start enacting the vengeance of God straight away, start bringing judgment. He didn't expect that Jesus would delay that judgment and usher in this age of grace. So John's like, are you the Messiah? And Jesus says, yes, you bet I am. I am Jubilee. I'm bringing in the reality of the age of Jubilee. He says, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's Jesus's proof that he is the Messiah. And you look at all the things that are happening there. The blind are having their sight restored. The dead are getting their life restored. The deaf are getting their hearing restored. Those who have leprosy are getting their health restored. This is physical restoration. That's a sign that we are in the age of Jubilee. Physical healing. This is the age of healing. That's where we live right now. That's where we are. And we shy away from this hugely in the West. God doesn't always answer our prayers of healing, but that's up to him. He wants us to try to believe by faith. Like if you are here this morning and you have a physical ailment, you probably don't have any COVID symptoms, or else you wouldn't have been let in. But other than that, if you have a physical ailment, you can receive healing in Jesus' name. Because this is where we are. We're in the age of healing. This isn't just some fairy tale thing that, you know, is floating in the clouds. This is reality. If you've ever seen a healing take place in front of your eyes, you know exactly what I mean. Maybe you, like on the stream, watching this from home, you feel there's some sort of physical ailment going on for you right now. You can have healing in Jesus' name. And maybe after the service, we're not allowed to mingle, but people can pray for you in your immediate area and pray in Jesus' name for healing. This just needs to happen, right? We need to step out in faith. Amen. This was the sign that Jesus was the Messiah and the age of Jubilee had come. The age of Jubilee is also marked by the harvest. The Jubilee was a year of harvest. It said, the 50th year shall be a Jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the untended vines, for it is a Jubilee and is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the field. So when the 50th year came for ancient Israel, they weren't allowed to plant any crops. They were only allowed to harvest what had already been grown. And I know that Jesus absolutely knew this when he proclaimed that this is the age of God's favor. This is Jubilee. Because now we are in the time of the great harvest. Only it is a harvest of people. Amen? A harvest of people from every tongue and every nation on the planet. This is the age where people can actually hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have a chance to respond. God can actually open up our eyes now in this age. And the miracle of it is that God has chosen sinners to harvest sinners. He's chosen broken people like me, like you, to actually take part in the great gathering up of the harvest of salvation. That is sheer grace. God is asking for workers to be involved in gathering up the harvest. And that is what we ought to be doing right now, even in this year. Another way to say this is we are living in the age of salvation. The Apostle Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians. He said, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, this is the day. Because just as in the Jubilee, people's debts got canceled unconditionally. If you know what it's like to have a crippling debt, then you know how much of a burden that can be and how incredible it would be for somebody to just rock up and go, hey, it's all canceled. Imagine the fetters that would fall off from you, the burden that would be released. But the truth is, our debt has been canceled. Jesus just did it in another way, in a more incredible way. He cancels the debt that we owed God, which was unpayable. There's no loan you could take out, no work you could do to pay God back for our sin. Jesus canceled it by his blood unconditionally because we are in the age of Jubilee. This is the age of salvation. Paul wrote about this again in Colossians. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Completely wiped out, Jesus has gifted us a complete debt cancellation that results in us having eternal life. This is the age of salvation. And just because it's 2020, it doesn't mean it stops being that. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This year. Isaiah, he would have longed for this age. You know, when he was penning those words in Isaiah 61, he wouldn't have believed his eyes if he saw millions of people around the world filled with God's presence. He wouldn't have believed that the Messiah was so prevalent through his people across the entire globe. I don't think he would have believed it at all. I think he would have looked at us right now this year and gone, okay, so you're having a bad year. There have been many bad years throughout history. And I know that's hard. But you have the Spirit in you. Amen. You have access to the Messiah. He's just a prayer away. He's just a thought away. He's at your grasp. Surely that trumps even the darkest of nights. Lift up our eyes and let's see the bountiful riches of this great age of salvation. Let's lift up our eyes and see the harvest of sinners before us that God's given us grace to gather. Lift up our eyes and see that we have the keys of heaven because we have the King of freedom in us. Because this is about perspective. And I think many of us are quickly losing perspective. We're losing perspective because of how dark things are getting. But it doesn't matter how dark things get. We are still in the year of the Lord's favor. We still exist in the space between those two poetic lines that Jesus separated. We exist there because the age, the day of God's vengeance has not come yet. It will come, but it will come when the King decides to return. And when that happens, we'll know about it. But not yet. Not yet. We are in the age of salvation. And what Jesus proclaimed that day in Nazareth, make no mistake, it was the proclamation of the King. And when the King of the universe publicly proclaims something, you listen to it. You listen to him. If you truly believe he has all the authority in heaven and earth, you will listen to him. And he said, you're in the age of Jubilee. So lift up our eyes. And when the church enacts freedom from bondage, when we participate in that, when we enact this community of restoring people physically and healing, but also taking care of each other with abundant generosity, and when we actually lift up our eyes, look at those around us and go, God, the fields are ripe for harvest, then we are showing the world that we're in this age, that this is the age of the Lord's favor. The band are going to come up now, and they're going to play this song called Authority. And these are incredible words, because unless you actually believe that Jesus has all the authority in the universe, then everything I've talked about today doesn't matter. It's only because he said that the age of salvation has come, that dawn has come, that this epoch of a new era has come, that we're in it, that that's reality. It's only because Jesus has the authority to say that. So during this space right now, what I want us to do is just take a moment to remember how much authority Jesus actually has, because we actually daily have to surrender our lives to his kingship and authority. Daily we need to be saying, Jesus, I want to believe that 2020, that the reality of the pandemic and everything that's going on, that isn't all there is. That you have incredible work for me and for your church to do right now. And I hope that we can get to the place after this song where we can leave here today and go, Jesus, I want to be a part of the harvest. Jesus, I want to wield your keys of freedom. Help me to do that, Lord. I'm yours. You're the King.